Please do sit down. And we'll read a portion of God's word and then consider it to King. On these Sunday evenings, we begin tonight to look at Matthew's gospel. Under the title, Meeting Jesus with Matthew, we're just going to very simply see and hear, I hope, what we can of the Lord Jesus. And therefore, if you have friends, family, or someone you would like to introduce to the Lord Jesus, I hope our times together will be very suitable for them to come along when they are ready and to hear. And tonight we read of John the Baptist preparing the way, Matthew chapter 3. I'm reserving the first two chapters for Christmas. That seems appropriate, really. So we're going to begin with the ministry of the Lord Jesus as John the Baptist prepares the way. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, reads like this. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the desert, Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, We have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn, burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So we read this gospel. And a gospel is just good news. So I hope you're ready for the good news. Matthew's gospel in particular tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's the focus of what Matthew has to say, that contrast between the two. And Matthew, as does the other gospel writers, say that John's ministry, John the Baptist, his ministry, immediately preceded the Lord Jesus. He was the forerunner. He came and announced the Lord. He was the herald. And as we read this, we should notice that John the Baptist is someone worth looking at, because of the impact that he had. Big Brother has just kicked off again. I'm sure you've noticed. If not, you will over the coming weeks. You won't be able to avoid it. It makes headlines. Suggestion is it might be the last one. I wasn't going to cheer, but I'm glad some of you did. That's by the by. Somebody else will probably take it on, I'm sure. But the whole point of Big Brother is that these people live out their lives before us and people vote for them and they're hoping to have an impact. They're hoping to go in there and be someone that others will look to and say, wow, and become famous. Well, had you realized, I don't know, perhaps you hadn't, that the first person has already been booted out. They only started yesterday and she's gone already. The words she chose on Facebook and Twitter, I believe, the views she expressed were considered inappropriate for the show to be associated with. And so she's been thrown out. Well, John the Baptist holds a unique position before the world. And his words, whilst they offend some, are vitally true. And we desperately need to hear them. Hear what it says about John. Hear that this text tells us that from city and country they came to hear him. Hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will later go on to say that John was a burning and shining light to this generation. So Matthew tells us that John is a preacher and a baptizer who heralds the Lord Jesus. So very simply this evening, what did he preach and why did he baptize? What did he preach? He preached fulfillment. His big message is the kingdom's here. The kingdom will become a key teaching of the New Testament. It's not a kingdom about owning land. These days we always talk about owning land. And where I grew up, the Duke of, I think his name was Westminster, had his country seat up near Chester. And there were a couple of private roads that you just literally couldn't drive through because they were his. Great big swathes of the countryside cut off to the rest of us because he owned the land. This isn't about owning the land. It's a different sort of kingdom. This is really about the rule and the reign, where influence is, where those who would choose to follow God are. It's a dynamic thing. Where is God actively ruling now? There is his kingdom. Is he ruling in your heart? Is he ruling in mine? Then that's where his kingdom is. His kingdom has already come into my heart. Has he come? Does he rule over yours? And John says this kingdom is now fulfilled. This must be a momentous point in history. There's something that all you people are looking for, says John. I'm telling you he's here. I'm telling you it's come. There's nothing worse, isn't there, than a jigsaw with a missing piece. Especially if the box doesn't say one piece missing. Because then you get to the end and you think, ugh! There's nothing worse than a game on your mobile phone and you get to level 11 and you just cannot, however hard you try, and sadly however much time you spend on it, you cannot get to level 12. What about that savings pot that never quite fills up to the point where you can get the decorating done because you have to keep dipping into it to mend the car? Could drive you mad, can't it? When something is unfulfilled, something's wrong. Something's, you know, we need to get there. And John says it's here. The final level is complete. The final piece of the puzzle is here. He's here. Get ready. John is saying that Jesus is the missing piece of the puzzle. He's the one you've been waiting for. Some of you may not know that even now. But that is what makes us ready. We first learn that we need the Lord Jesus. Unless we have him, we have nothing. The prophetic messenger dressed in the simple clothes of the day and having the pared-down diet of the one who eats simple food that you can just take from the environment without pay is simply saying it's not about me, it's about someone else. It's not about me, it's about the message I bring. Don't look at me. They wouldn't have wanted to look at him except perhaps to realize that he was an Old Testament prophet. And the message is, John's preaching, there's one calling out to you. The time is now. Your waiting is over. The kingdom is fulfilled. So John is preaching fulfillment, but he's also preaching repentance. Confess, he says, repent. John does not varnish the current situation. Indeed, he deals with it head on. Confess your sins, he says. John talks honestly about this, and so will I this evening. We are all naturally blind to our faults. We are all those who've not gone the way God wants us to go. I know that the world today lies to us and says that we're naturally good, and just a few of us go off the rails. But that is not the worldview of the day that John was speaking into, and it is not the truth. The fact is, the Bible is clear here, and in many, we are all sinners many times over. I dare not hide this from you today. I must warn you. John, you see, preaches sin. He preaches sin. The people of John's day were a bit ahead of us. They were already looking for the answer to the sin problem. And so as John preached sin, he was saying, here's the answer to what you know you already have to deal with. But today, many people are not looking for an answer to the sin problem. Maybe you're one of them. If you don't think there's a problem, why would you look for the solution? And actually, that's where the Pharisees and the Sadducees come in. You see, they believed they were all right. They said, oh, we're children of Abraham, so we're all right. And John said, oh, no, you're not. And today, many of us say, we're children of science. We're children of the Enlightenment. We're naturally good. We're all right. And John's message is the same for us as it was for the Pharisees. We're not all right. We're sinners. We're in line for God's wrath, not anything pleasant. So John preaches fulfillment, repentance, sin, and the wrath of God. The wrath of God that is real and deadly and immediate. Living in Jerusalem was not good enough. Having Abraham as a father was not good enough. Today we would say, oh, well, I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't abused anybody. I'm not a terrorist, so I'm good enough. John says, no, you need to bear good fruit. But then again, I've given all my spare stuff to the charity shop. I stop and let people out at the junctions when I'm driving. I look after my aged parents. Honest, I do. That's not good enough. John preaches that we need to be called if we are to escape the wrath of God. We need to be called to a new life. We need to be fruit trees that produce fruit that will last. God will not accept the wrong sort of fruit. We can't offer to him just what we want. The history of Cain and Abel tells us that. Cain offered lovely fruit, but it was not what God wanted. It was not what God had asked for. God had asked for an offering made in faith. God said, trust me. God said, do it the way I have instructed you. And so we read by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. So John is preaching fulfillment. The kingdom is near. The one is coming who will call you out of sin, away from the wrath of God, and home into the kingdom. It's happening, John says. Jesus is here, John says. He still says it today. That's what John is saying right now. I wonder if you've heard of this Jesus. Will you accept him? Will you let him rule over your life rather than try and rule it yourself? John preaches, but John also baptizes. He baptizes with water. That means it's a sign of something to come. Water is too commonplace to mean anything more than that. We use it for everything. I can drink it. I can wash my hands in it. We use water for so many different things. It was a simple symbol. Something else was to come. Something else was to follow. The people of the day knew that. Baptism was already a sign for them. If you joined God's people from a Gentile to become what was called a proselyte, you would be baptized in this way, submerged under the water. So John baptizes with water as a sign of something to come, but John baptizes because of repentance. If someone had answered the call that John had issued, someone had answered the call of the Lord, then John would baptize them. If someone had come forward and said, I know the other ways of fixing the sin problem don't work. I'm not going to go my way anymore. I want this one who's coming, the one you've promised, the one you said is here. I put my hope in him. You say he's here, John. I've been waiting for this moment all my life. I don't want to miss it. I repent. I get ready now to meet him. I will trust in the kingdom of God. John, will you baptize me as a sign of all I've said? Let me prove with my life that I mean what I say. So John baptizes with water as a sign. He baptizes because of repentance, but he baptizes in expectation of a greater baptism. This is a glorious truth. John baptized knowing that when Jesus came, he would overlay that baptism with the indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit. The baptism of Holy Spirit and fire, we read here. Now, if you know anything about your Bible, that's a hint at the day of Pentecost. And ever since then, when the moment someone believes, they receive this baptism too. And God, the Holy Spirit, indwells their hearts. But John, at this moment in history, is baptizing in expectation that God will do even more than is being done by the words said and the deeds done. John's expectation goes beyond that, and you'll see it here. John is expecting a final sorting of men and women, boys and girls. John is expecting that Jesus, for it is Jesus who is pictured here. John is expecting that Jesus will come after him, Jesus, that Almighty One. And John tells us that Jesus will judge, that he will sort out the wheat from the chaff. This is no mechanical harvest, some massive combine harvester, a great machine doing all the work en masse. And the farmer happy with so many percentage loss. This is the Lord Jesus taking the winnowing fork in his own hands and lifting the mix into the air and watching it sort. The wind blowing the straw away, the heavier seed falling back to his feet. Where will you fall? Are you a lightweight? A piece of straw blown away and later burned. A rotten tree producing no good fruit, soon to be chopped down. You still relying on your own strength or goodness to get into heaven? Or are you a seed? Some weight to you, something good about you. You're valuable. You're falling back at the feet of the Lord Jesus to be gathered into his barn. My friends, Jesus preaches repentance and he baptizes because of it, in the hope and expectation of the Lord Jesus Christ coming, who will judge the living and the dead. Do you not think you should listen to John? Give some thoughts to his words and to his practice? Do you not think you should repent and choose Jesus over yourself today? Do you not think you should be baptized?